Blog Talk Radio.
In your darkest hour,
What the fuck is this kid doing in here? Get the hell out of here before I kick your little ass.
You ain't kicking shit.
Don't worry about him, man. He's with me. He runs errands for me. I don't care who he is, man. I don't care what he does, man. Kids bring me bad luck, and I don't want him in the room when I'm shooting.
No, the bet is faded, motherfucker. Stop jacking off and shoot the dice. You fucking up the game.
Man, I ain't shooting shit. I told you kids bring me bad luck. I can't stand them little bastards. Now get the fuck out of here before I kick your ass.
You ain't whooping shit. Now shoot the dice, you snaggletooth motherfucker.
All right, I'm going to shoot these motherfuckers. You understand? I'm going to shoot, but I bet not crap. That's all I know. I just bet not crap.
Oh,
come on, stick with your funky ass. I've been waiting for you all night. Baby needs shoes. My wife needs clothes.
And you need some teeth.
Shoot the goddamn dice, man.
Hey, man, I'm
going to
shoot the damn dice. You understand? I'm going to shoot them.
I'm going to say every one of you motherfuckers home. Broke.
Shoot them.
Broke.
Oh, shit.
Come on, stick with your bad ass. Come on, yeah. Man, didn't I tell you them motherfuckers bring me bad luck, man?
Whoa, whoa. What's that sign say? Ray's place. That's me. This is my place, okay? I have it here when the fuck I want. Okay, you lost. So pass the dice. I'm buying from this motherfucker.
And I ain't selling, punk. I ain't buying either. What I'm gonna do is shoot this shit again, and you're gonna get that kid's ass out of here. That's what's gonna happen.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Wait, man, look. You shot. You lost. I mean, we'd have paid you if you won. But you lost. Now take your big ass home and brush that tooth.
You think that's funny, huh? You think that's funny, huh?
Oh, man.
Huh? I told you I couldn't stand kids in the room when I was shooting. They bring me bad luck, but you wouldn't listen, would you?
I'm listening.
Well, listen to this. I want back all the money I lost tonight, and I want back everything you took in. You understand me, you smooth-talking son of a bitch? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now tell that old frog face, gravel voice, dude, take a slow walking ass on out there and bring back the money. Tell it! Otherwise, I'm gonna stick your ass. And I'm gonna stick him, and I'll definitely stick this little janky ass, bad luck motherfucker standing here.
I think he don't have to stick us, cause I ain't giving a shit.
Yeah.
Wait, before you do, I just wanna tell you one thing.
What you wanna tell me, punk? Huh?
What the fuck you wanna tell me, man? I just, what the fuck you wanna tell me? It slips my mind.
Take your mind.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
God damn. I guess he does have bad luck with kids.
That man's gonna stab us, so I shot him.
Yeah. Danny, Slim, Moses, would you help get this damn motherfucker out of here, please? Oh shit, look, the game's over for the night. I'm gonna take this little boy home to his mother.
My mama's dead.
Well, your daddy.
My father's dead too.
Did you kill him?
No, they're just dead.
Give me the pistol. Yeah. Where do you stay?
I don't even know where.
I guess you can stay at my house for a while.
Alright.
I wouldn't trust him in the house with me.
Alright. Give me five.
I ain't giving you shit.
Come on. Please. So you're shy. How about some rice cream?
Yeah. Well, you know, you leave something alone for a moment, and the next thing you know, it goes haywire. Good evening, and welcome. We are calling from the NFC headquarters for Super Bowl 57 and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and the crack studio crew and myself are trying to fix what needs to be fixed, because what we have done and what we tried to explain earlier in the week is when we did a bunch of shows, we found out that it came out to exactly 1,600 shows. Now, that's a good number, and that's something we want to work with. However, there are certain episodes that have a little more cachet than others. Since the Eagles did what the hell they were supposed to do and took it home, we want to focus on one aspect that we talked about for as long as the show's been in existence, and that is the similarities between this and societal stuff. In other words, it's a job. It's a job with a bit more perks than the other jobs and stuff, but there's always some shit that makes it different. It's a place where one person can make a humongous difference and one asshole can wreck it. We saw that thing wrecked a while ago when Chip Kelly became the Eagles coach. Unfortunately, it didn't fix itself right away. But enough people saw that, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And we figured ultimately, we know that the only way it will fix itself is for a change to come. They made the change. I wasn't sure about Nick Sirianni, in all honesty. But look, he got it done. He also got a quarterback that I'm sure rankled some Philadelphia fans because Philly's like their sports heroes white. You know, we know that. It's always been that way. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be any change. Although Jalen Hurts has made people think about, well, it's going to hurt so good because now you're going to the Super Bowl. What we're trying to do is string along exactly where to find our saving grace in fixing this by going back into the archive of shows and picking up an episode where we've had this very issue hit us in the face. This show was from March 26th, 2014, and we're trying to find it as we speak. And just a second here, as we are going to continue to peek through. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Bengals and our Kansas City Chiefs are going at it. It's 20-20. And the possibility of a Super Bowl is very, very real, depending on whether or not Patrick Mahomes and his ankle can hold up. We have a list of shows staring in front of me, and I'm just trying to pick out which is the right year. They're not in order, and unfortunately, our crack research crew must be on crack because we can't find for sure which ones they are. Now, once we do, we're going to activate that show and play the rebroadcast so you know exactly what we're talking about. Well, at least close to what we're talking about. In any event, let's give this a try and see if we got it right. Again, this is the rebroadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and listen. And we hope that you enjoy it. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Oh, for goodness sakes. You know, it's always a problem. But I should say, I shouldn't be speaking about problems. I'm actually in a pretty good mood because my Eagles did what they were supposed to. Jalen Hurts was very efficient in moving the offense. They got their touchdowns. They didn't make any mistakes. There were no turnovers. You know, it's everything that you can ask for. San Francisco, meanwhile, played nobly. They had a good season. But, unfortunately, they have to live with the reality of wait till next year. You know that. We've been through that. And they went through three quarterbacks and still had competent talent at the most important position. We can't say that. But we try. As we're trying to get a fix on here. 2014 seems a long ways away, but 1,600 shows seemed a long way away as well.
As our staff of chefs get prepared to whisk up something on the lines of good food for thought, and another edition of Soul Just Media in the Raw. Honey, I'm Mike, with the thing of DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it is good having you in the house. Soul Dream Radio in the Raw, sponsored by the Black Athlete Sports Network, Roland Rogers, CEO of Living Memory, our friends and colleagues at Blog Talk, our friends and colleagues at WCLM 1450 AM, the soul of Richmond, Virginia, Cowboy Reggie and his crew do Sports Talk every Saturday from noon to 1 Eastern. My colleague Gary Norris Gray and I will be filling in during our summer hiatus as we will be on Saturday from 12 to 1 in the Sports Talk slot this Saturday and next. Doing what we can do, throw something in the pot, and give people good food for thought. Also want to shout out our colleagues, WUFO 1080 AM, The Mix in Buffalo, New York, where Pat Freeman and the mighty Obama may his tribe increase as push is coming to shove in Western New York on the big decision on whether or not there will be permanent jobs, permanent good-paying jobs for the citizens of Western New York. Has been spurred by Brother Freeman and the private interest to have a sports entertainment complex there that will landlock the Buffalo franchise in the NFL and secure some serious funding for the area for people who genuinely need it instead of a handful of wannabe oligarchs that are trying to stop folks from earning a decent living in Western New York. We also want to shout out our brother Anthony Johnson, who does a great job with his show, The Anthony Johnson Show, every Thursday night from 9 to 10. Excuse me, on Blog Talk. Got a serious frog in my throat, y'all. Please bear with me. And our colleagues at Guardian Cast, Leonard Hansen and Mike Feeling, doing their best to make sure that when you're out there performing on the field, whether it's Weekend Warrior or serious competition, you ain't going to go, oops, upside the head. At their expense. And, as always, our staff of chefs will be ready to throw down tonight, but I want to make mention of my colleague Gary Norris Gray, whose folks are there, checking everybody out there. Reverend Gray, Ma Gray, my love and respect to you both. And, you know, if you hear a naughty word, so just close your eyes or pretend you didn't hear it. How we doing here? Because, you know, I have my own idea about what a profanity is. Now, for a menu tonight, when Gary's finally signed in here, there are several issues that must be dealt with. The ongoing issue of the Washington Football Club is one thing, and the nonsense that Mike Dick has spewed out of his mouth, coupled with the nonsense that the Washington Football Club is trying to cough up makes for even more of a attempt for us to have indigestion of the brain when it comes to some of the stuff that comes out these cats' mouths. But I want to make an observation as the Little League World Series is on right now, and the team from Canton, Pennsylvania, representing Philly and the Mid-Atlantic region with Monet Davis and company there, I made a point of avoiding saying anything about Monet on our show. She surely is a black athlete, and she's very talented, and she's well-rounded and all that good stuff. But I saw how this thing started to escalate with her exploits, with how she was striking guys out and playing well, so much so that dumbass Fox News tried to imply that, well, why should she be playing a boys' sport? I mean, all kinds of crazy crap like that. I'm saying this right now so that folks understand. Back in the day when I was growing up, there were Monet Davises all over my neighborhood and in other neighborhoods. My mother was a fast pitch softball pitcher. So it's not like this is anything new to us. We had girls playing everything under the sun in our neighborhood when we grew up. Whether it was stickball, softball, hardball, everything. That's just how it was. If you had the ability to do so, it wasn't no thing. And I appreciate that Monet is trying to take it in stride, and she's espoused wanting to play for Gina Oriema at UConn and being a point guard or playing soccer. You know, she's handling this with a lot more plum and grace than the parasites that are actually interviewing her. And the other story that people aren't talking about in this Little League series is the team from Chicago, Illinois, which happens to be all black. And I believe, and Gary, when you get on here, you can verify whether or not they are connected with this RBI program that Major League Baseball likes to pat itself on the back every time they want to sell jerseys and stuff with Jackson Robinson. But as far as I understand it, they are the only black Little League team to ever be in this competition. And I think as much as I'm digging, you know, Monet and all the stuff that she's doing and whatnot, history of this is lost on me. And I'm looking at your spot here. I can't hear you. You're not signed on, G. I see that you got to call in because it's not picking up. You're not listed on this thing. And that's my problem. You're not listed here. So I need some help here. You might have to come and do it all, G. So if you can, you may have to sign on. You may have to sign on because we're having some gremlins over here, and we'll have to work the board from your side of the coin here. All right. And in the meantime, as we are trying to mull through all this, there's some other issues that have come up. But to just finish up the whole Little League thing, I would never want to minimize these kids' achievements, but if this had been 20, 30 years ago, there had been some sort of nonsense. I find now we've got even more nonsense on tap because Bill Monet is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I'm happy for the fact that they are appreciating our talent. But my concern is what's going to happen if Channing or when Channing loses, because that's the bigger problem here. We know how these guys are in this business. They go out of their way to build someone up so they can enjoy the tearing down process. And that's what I'm feared of. I'm feared that that's where this is going to go because they don't care really about the kid or they really don't think about anything other than whether it's going to get hits on their website or any other stuff. And that's what bothers me. It's going to be that kind of issue. All they care about is what numbers is this kid going to pull. And they will sit around in those boardrooms in production meetings and decide, well,
Okay.
Gary, are you there?
I got it. Go ahead. We got it covered.
Okay. All right. you got on the line aside from me, Jim?
704.
704, I don't know who that is. 704, all right. 704,
what's up?
I'll bring him in. Well, I was just listening by since you're in the conversation. I really haven't too much to say right now, but I probably have something to say probably here shortly. I'm just taking in what you have to say.
Hi, brother. Thank you for listening. I'm curious about this whole Little League thing, though, Jake. You know, because, as I said, a black athlete, you haven't written anything about it yet because I thought that she was the other side of a two-edged coin with her and the team from Chicago, the Jackie Robinson team, all black. And if I'm wrong, I'll have to check it for sure, but I think they're the first all-black team to compete in Little League. Now, I know the team from Curacao had a lot of brothers on it and whatnot, but I thought there were two white players there from a couple of years back from the Caribbean. Are they the first ones?
No, the team back in 82-83. The Chicago team, yeah.
How did they do?
They went to the quarterfinals.
Okay. All right. No problem there. We just saw a situation where, as I'm watching the game here, Kenny had the bases loaded. One run came in, and then one kid grounded into a inning-ending double play. But the issue isn't that Kenny is playing poorly or anything like that. It's double elimination. So even if they lose, they will have to play against the powerful team from Chicago tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's four innings now, and it's 3-1. Monet Davis pitched out of a nice jam in the second inning.
Yeah.
I was making the point, G, that I grew up in New York, and there were Monet Davises all around me. I played on teams, black-eyed girls, who could play hit, pitch, run, dribble, shoot, just as good, if not better than some of the boys. So, you know, this speaks to a bigger dynamic.
look better off the kid, you know?
Yeah.
And we've seen to a lesser degree what parents, stage parents, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, can do to a kid's career or to ruin a kid's life.
Well, like I
said
before, I was the African-American kid for 90 days. Look up a guy from A&T, look up A&T. Or Morgan, or Hampton.
Yep.
I want to see a young brother at 17 on that design day. I'm going to Grammy. Going to Southern. And I'm end this nonsense every when people go and say they're on TV. Good job.
Yeah. It should, but we know as long as the ESPNs of the world put this kind of exposure out, kids will gravitate to it. Because of kids. I mean, it takes a really exceptional parent to see the big picture and all this. And administer some temperance with this. Put the cowboy on as well. But Vonnie Davis in less than 3 weeks went from just a regular kid playing in Philly to a pop icon. She had NFL players. And I hate on little girl. I love the fact that she is handling everything the way she is. I've got some knuckleheads playing the pro leagues now who can take some lessons on how to handle threats from Vonnie Davis. But still with all of that, there's a price. And you know what the price is. Right now, ESPN has this game in their version of prime time because of her. Not because they have any real vested interest in Little League Baseball. They are trying to get the biggest bang for the buck. They don't give a shit about Little League Baseball. But to your point, not only do they not really care about Little League Baseball, they don't care about HBCU sports either. So the whole issue of that athlete putting on that Grambling cap, like you say, or the FAMU cap or Virginia State cap, that would be important because if Gary Norris Gray came out of El Cerrito High School and decided that he was going to go to Morgan State.
Yep.
Do you know somebody get a Morgan State cap off. Or then they'd say, well, find a black cap and just write Morgan State on that bad boy. You know they would be scrambling.
The day is coming. I'm going to be back.
Yes,
not back because I knew this. I want to see him ready for it. I'm ready for it. It's coming.
I agree. Well, as things are happening here, a couple of updates. We were first talking before we went on air about Washington. Give me the latest what's going on with the Washington Football Club, Jake.
Okay. Let me get out. Mr. Mike Dicker, and his esteemed genius said that it's all the political correct idiots of America that's putting this drive to change the Washington Football Club thing. Now, what Mike Dicker did, was there a fire story. And now the whole nation has officially joined the fight against the Washington Football Club name. And now our enemies have been on the borderline for after Mike Dicker yesterday. And okay, now we're going to join the fight against the name of the Washington Football Club. They were one of the biggest nations in this country.
Uh-huh.
They got problems now.
if we backtrack, though, on all of this, never mind take a stupid statement about politically correct. I never liked the phrase politically correct because if you're correct, you don't need the politics. The politics ain't got nothing to do with it. And they know that name is blasphemous, is an insult.
It is.
To Native American brothers and sisters. And I throw First Nations brothers and sisters in there too, and for our Canadian listeners. But the bottom line has always been who gets to have the microphone to speak. And we know Native Americans have not had the mic ever when it comes to this sort of stuff. When it has been a mic put in their hand, G, the voice has not been very loud, or there were not people there listening when that mic was put in their hand. Now this is a bigger deal.
Let me add this commentary here. One of the leading black referees, Mike Terry has been in the league for 14 years. Mike Terry has said he does not want to do wide football games because of that reason.
Now you, all y'all are calling me to behave and whatnot. It's like, come on, y'all.
I just want to have my show when I come back, you know. You know, but on a serious tip, though, when it comes to the HBCUs, I would love to have a young man at the house, but we've been very fortunate here in Virginia because on Saturday day, we had a young man go to Virginia Union, that state, and Virginia State with Latrell Scott. But, gentlemen, the bottom line, where so many HBCUs can start to set the game like a Tennessee State, and I hope that the way to be on soon. It's all about the facility. Uh-huh. It's all about people, unfortunately, looking at academia versus athletics. And for some reason, as I said on this show last week, we got all these people with their doctoral degrees, all the people with their master's degrees have been in administration.
Yeah.
But I can understand how come the white students, like a Texas, when they have $350 million in their TV, like a Penn State, and all that crazy went up there, and Joe Popper, all those libraries, all those buildings through athletics, and Delaware State even got some of that money back in the day when they built themselves, when they got an airport at Delaware State, and that's an HBCU. And we know about Hampton playing against the Ivy League. So again, why is it again, maybe you guys help me out, that we have so many people in academia when it comes to our HBCU that are fighting, literally tooth and nail against academics and when it comes to football and other sports? Can you help a brother out?
Well, I tell you this much, because Professor Fred brought this up a couple of shows ago, and it made sense. In our own culture, we had our own attack of the nerds issue with the academians having a big problem with some of the jocks, maybe because they weren't picked for baseball when they were kids, maybe somebody kicked sand on them in the beach and all that nonsense. And I can speak from both sides of this because I am a nerd. I was a nerd before the word even existed, and I was a pretty decent jock as well. So swinging from both sides of this, I could see where the academians who didn't get picked for kickball or other nonsense had problems with the reality that what they did not drive the financial train. If they even had any lick of sense, and they were as smart as their noble pieces of paper said they were, then all they had to do was look at the programs in state, wherever they were, as far as successful they were, and say, that's what we need to do. Even if we can't do it on the same scale, that's what we need to do, because the workforce came from those same schools. We know 50 years back, if this is 1964, do we have any black players playing at the University of Virginia? We do not. Because they're Virginia State. They're Virginia Union. You know, we know. But the bottom line is, when all that money, Hampton, exactly, but when all that money went to pot after Southern Cal went down to Alabama and embarrassed the hell out of Bear Bryant, and they said, we got to get us some niggas. We got to get us some niggas. Because them niggas came down here and thrashed our white boys. And they knew. Ben Bryant knew, all those so-called great white coaches knew, that they at any time played the Gramlings, the Phil Cookmans, any of those black folks, they got their ass. They would have, family would have beat them all down to the white meat. And that coach was there. Because Jake Gator, the famous FAMU coach, used to have coaching clinics where Ben Bryant and others would sit at the master's seat, seeing them break down football film and understand the nuances of football. But do we ever hear these so-called sports experts, renowned Jake Gator, as a football technician, a master technician, a coaching genius, somebody worthy of the College Football Hall of Fame, let alone the Pro Football Hall of Fame? No.
That's
exactly right. That's the same to a lesser degree to John McClendon, Dean Smith issue. You know, even when they saw that John McClendon was the creator of this up-tempo style of basketball that is now played in the National Basketball Association, and not well, it didn't change the reality. They still wanted to spin it to make it seem as if Dean Smith was responsible for the four quarters and not McClendon. And this is even after the information was put out there. We interviewed the producer of Black Magic a couple of months after everything was put out on ESPN.
And I asked him straight up, are you surprised that John McClendon is not getting his just due? And are you also surprised that in spite of the fact that the Mouse actually showed this, they actually presented it, that nobody on the Mouse's staff is speaking up for McClendon? It's as if it came and went, like, what, in one ear, out the other. And he said, he admitted that he was shocked. He truly thought that something different was going to happen. But clearly, you can see, we've had several years of college basketball come and go, and then he said, Dibby squat. I hope the Grays appreciated that one. Dibby squat.
We interrupt this broadcast for a special announcement. Super Bowl 57 will be the Philadelphia Eagles against the Kansas City Chiefs. A last minute, or I should say, last second field goal after Patrick Mahomes took a roughing the passer penalty on a scramble by Harrison Butker made the difference as Kansas City prevailed 23-20. This will be, unless I missed something somewhere, the first Super Bowl. Two black quarterbacks will be vying for the NFL's prize of the Super Bowl. I think, on top of everything else, this is looking to be a potentially awesome game. Mahomes fought through his ankle. With 2 weeks, he should be in top shape. Jalen Hurts had to deal with shoulder problems. He survived that. So we're going to see what the hell happened. And we're going to see a great game. So having said that, it's a Super Bowl. Kansas City versus Philly in Super Bowl 57. We now return you back to our previous broadcast.
About McClendon. Let's see, Mike, again, Dr. Professor Witt said, it's our responsibility to get there and tell our story. That's why we're looking forward to this book coming out with the HUs that should be in the Football Hall of Fame. And I was going to say real quick, shout out to University of Maryland, as I talked about earlier. University of Maryland is taking the bold step.
Yeah, tell us more about that, Reggie, please.
Something new and innovative apparently happened to the University of Maryland. And they broke the story on the Mouse yesterday on the Freddie Coleman show that the University of Maryland is leaving the ACC. And they have to start to track athletes by any means necessary. So what they're coming up with the concept, because they're getting big money going into the Big Ten that Ohio State is in. Right. They have already decided that no matter what sport that you play, be the man or woman, either it's wrestling, golf, or whatever, that as soon as your eligibility up, that they will grant, make sure as long as you're academically in good standards with the school, you will get a full ride or however long your eligibility is up. And after your eligibility up, they'll make sure that all your medical will be paid, all your medical benefits will be paid. And after that, they say that, again, once you exhaust all of your eligibility, they will stand by you and pay for your books and anything you need to get a degree. Now, the main thing, what I say with this is that the caveat is that you must be in academically good standing with your school. Now, see, again, we got some people that want to go pro in 1 or 2, 3 years. Okay, you go pro 1 or 2, 3 years, guess what? You lost out. And also, they're trying to get that grade, that graduation rate up. So a lot of these schools in Arkansas back in the day, they won national championship. I'm a black coach. We know who that is. They had such a poor dismal graduation rate that something of them already put on probation, AK Connecticut, where they could have won back-to-back championships. So all I'm saying again, thank you for doing it, University of Maryland. But trust me, they're doing this because they're going into the big town bowl, and they need quality athletes to compete. Because right now, they're going to get a stomp in the ground.
Hey, remember. I said 5 years ago, it's coming to fruition. We have 5 major conferences. That's going to be it. That's going to be coming out.
Yes, you did, Negro Domus. You did say that, and you said it before anybody else. But, you know, we got to finish. We have to punctuate what Reggie just said here. Because the University of Maryland, with a stroke of a pen, we're going to take care of everybody. But think about how much money that is. All right, if Reggie Watson is a terrible football player, and the cost of a 4-year ride is, let's say for argument's sake, $150,000.
Yeah.
You multiply that by an operating squad of 80 players at $150 per player. You multiply that by the 15 or so scholarships for the basketball team, men's and women, volleyball, all the other things. So all that money is being underwritten with the guarantee that as long as Reggie keeps his grades up, he ain't got to worry about compete for a spot locked in because it's good business. Because that's what this is. This is a business decision. This isn't anything that's done out of any sort of ethics or goodness of the University of Maryland's part. They're trying to bring more people over. And if Gary Norris Gray finds out that Maryland's offering free rides, so maybe instead of going to San Jose State or Morgan State or any other state, you know, my man Reverend Gray will say, well, you know what, look at this deal in Maryland, because there are informed customers. And they're going to say, if they're going to give you 4 years, Gary, you're taking your hanging down there to Maryland. You're going to be a terrapin. And that's what's going to happen. So they're going to attract better athletes because it's a better deal on the table. And we know if Maryland's willing to do this, and Maryland, think about it. When's the last time Maryland had a championship in either football or basketball? Under Gary Williams? Under Gary Williams?
Back in the 80s,
90s. Right. So we're talking at least 25 years. Right. So we're talking at least 25 years. So they don't really have any kind of championship cachet. But yet, they know that they must keep up with the Joneses, and this is their way of trying to even the playing field to lure people to come to Maryland to play there, because they won't have to sweat earning that scholarship, that one-year scholarship every year. So it makes sense, but it still it stops short of ensuring that everybody gets what they're supposed to get. And by that, I mean everybody gets paid. You know, it's all nice that you don't have to worry about your books and any other stuff, maybe not a place to live. You know, you should have been doing this all along, as far as I'm concerned. But now you have to go that little step further. I don't think it's asking anything much that starters, and when I say starters, I mean starters on the football and basketball teams, because they are your revenue earners, gain something to the effect of $500 to $1,000 a week, and a per diem of $500, so that when the game is over and those stands are filled, and before anybody thinks that's too much money, think about this. We're not even talking about the monster schools yet. Maryland Stadium holds about, 70,000 people?
Give or take,
So even if we charged $100 a ticket and filled those 70,000 seats up, talking $7 million in the stands worth of items, you're talking about if we all go to the game, Mar, Reverend Gray, Gary, me, Reggie, that's $500 for the car. The ticket's going to be at least $50 each, and I'm lowballing now.
Yeah.
So $250 worth to go to the game with the ticket. Another 50 bucks—that's 300. You know, we're talking hot dogs. Well, exactly. So we're talking about another maybe $100 on food. You kidding me? By the end of the day, we've spent somewhere between $500 and $600 to see a football game.
Oh, don't forget, Mike.
That's what I'm saying. I'm making generalizations of this. You know, all the stuff over the course of the game that we would all take in. So if we're spending that, and that's just five of it, you can imagine what others at the game are going to be spending.
You can imagine what the boosters are going to be spending. You can imagine what the parents of the players are going to be spending. You know, it's
but what about the health benefits? See, this is the main thing. Okay, the young man again in the national championship game for Louisville, that's left right leg. Okay, now all of a sudden, he doesn't have to worry about going out. As a matter of fact, I think the young man had to leave Louisville because he's not playing that
anymore. That's right, he left Louisville.
He cried a little bit about wanting to go to school. That goes his scholarship. So we're talking about probably 5-10 years rehab down the road because of a broke like that, you're going to have to come back over again as you get older. I'm not being, Mike, you play sports. You know yourself. Look at the NFL players, guys. These guys now are being treated for injuries they've had since high school. Now, you're going to sit there and tell me that there's a severe break like that, you're not going to have some kind of illness from it? That's what I'm saying.
We're missing one important component from this because he broke his leg on national television.
Yeah.
If that had been a regional game, a local game, it would have been a 2-minute blip on the local broadcast, and it would have disappeared.
Yeah.
He never would have gotten the kind of treatment. Exactly right. He never would have gotten the kind of treatment that he was supposed to get because anybody who works for a union, even if you work on a right-to-work state, you know for a fact that the bottom line in all of this is that that was a workman's compensation situation that you saw played before millions of people on that championship court in the NCAA. And Louisville quietly kicked that kid to the curb. He's lucky that it happened on national television because as soon as his parents were called in or his girlfriend or whoever it was, they all came to the hospital. You know that school would have tried to find a way to run to do an interim around him and say, well, you know what? Since you got people there that ain't assigned to you or not connected to the school, you know, those girls, those hot are on your dime. They're not going to be on the school's dime. If that hadn't happened on that national championship floor, those parents would have been fucked for those bills for that kid.
No, individual across the country are trying to kill Title IX. If they get their way, we are in serious trouble with female athletes.
It's not that they're trying to kill a gene. They're trying to cut the fat in their mindset.
You wouldn't cut women's
sport at the University of Tennessee because they're a revenue garner. You wouldn't cut women's sport at Stanford or UConn for the same reason. What they're really saying is this is more evidence that the sheet is coming off because if you ain't making us money, we really don't want to hear it. And that's what they're trying to do. That's the real issue here. And the NCAA, they have to walk a fine line because they know, as Gary predicted, if the Big Five conferences decide to take their ball and go home, the NCAA is a paper tiger.
They got immunity.
It's not like they gave them immunity. What could they do? It's like the movie Aliens when my man said, what are we going to use against these guests? Harsh language? The NCAA had no weapons to fight against the Big Five conferences. They told them straight up, we're going to bounce. And the NCAA said, we'll give you the thing you want. So now the Big Five conferences, if they want to pay Gary under the table, Gary's going to get paid.
Notre Dame travels. You can have 70,000 to 80,000 fighting Irish fans up in the stand if they are halfway decent. That's why when the scandal came up right now about the academic scandal, that's when Notre Dame was so upset because they knew they were going to be in that pot. And they knew they were going to break up with the NDC title.
Guy, I hate to break the news to you. No reason will be in the pot.
No, how's the team doing from Philly? That's a little more serious. How they doing?
It's 3-1, and change pitchers. Monet Davis lasted 3 innings.
That's okay. Rounds. She struck out six. She struck. Listen, she's fine. That's a point.
She did great.
But on the next day, she did great. She was smoking, guys, for real. And I know they went back to the dugout. I never looked at her. I'm like, man, you got struck out by a girl.
I said it earlier in the show, my mother was a fast pitch, softball pitcher. You know, we've seen Lorraine Jefferson in the hood all our lives. So, it ain't no surprise. I'm enjoying Monet kicking their behinds out there. But the Chicago team is the other story that I'm talking about. And if Monet wasn't as big an issue, them young brothers from Chicago kicking everybody's behind. I mean, they're not eking out. They're laying waste to people. And if Andy loses, if the Philadelphia team loses tonight, they're going to play them because it's double elimination. And I'm fearful it won't matter. This is Little League Baseball and they kids, and they should enjoy the fact that they're there and having fun playing. It's what the Mouse did. Yeah. It's what Sports Illustrated did that I have a problem with, because they don't care how old you are. As long as we can get a bunch, get our rings big on the store. Like Gary already said, borrow the money. And the bottom line is that the kids are getting exposed in 10 seconds of fame. God bless them, and I hope that the people will get behind them when they get back home, get some kind of college funds for these young guys. Because, again, shout out to the Upton brothers that looked out for the team in Chicago. And also, again, we need more athletes getting. I can't be doing their money, but, again, shout out to the Upton brothers. So, you know, the Mouse don't give them credit. So, thank God for this network. And, again, this coming Saturday, the dynamic with Dr. Eva and Mr. G will be on www.demsonrainer.com. I got to plug it. It will be on www.demsonrainer.com from 12 to 1 the next two Saturdays. So listen to Dr. Eva on his PG way of doing things. into the fitness of running men out the barn. Uh-huh. Yeah, she did a little, she was a late at night, but yeah, she was mulatto. She was so light that she thought she was white. And yes, baby's mother was black. I know that's shocking y'all right now, but it was a fact. And again, baby was a black man. And but yet the dirty little secret again that even Bert Sugar, late Bert Sugar, God bless his soul, he didn't want to admit it. But we know the fact was that Babe Ruth was black. Another man, hey Karen, I was gonna say this real quick, I apologize, but for Johnny Manziel, I'm just saying, to be caught up in little words. And again, just look at what, again, Hank Aaron went through, who's still alive to this day, that covered his hand with his drink. Just went through what the late Jackie Robinson went through. Oh, Muhammad Ali. So don't give me this BS and what Michael Vick still going through this day, as well as Cam Cameron and Ray Lewis. Don't give me this little BS. You can't take a little preseason chatter. Lord have mercy. Son, wait till the rest of the season.
Hold on. Hold on. Back up on that first. Hold on, guys. I want to with the Johnny Manziel nonsense. I'm going to get back to Babe Ruth, who really is black, y'all. So sorry about that. But the bottom line is, Johnny Manziel played an exhibition game, got his behind knocked a couple times, and the defensive lineman put the money sign in his face. Like, you're in the big leagues now, son. We don't play that crap again. And little Johnny couldn't take it, so he went to the sideline, like a little bitch that he is. He puts his finger out in the one finger and tells everybody, oh, I don't like this. You know, screw you guys. I'm going home. So I remember when Mike Vick was playing in Atlanta for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he went home to play against the Falcons. He got injured during the game, and as he was walking out and he heard Bulls, he gave the similar salute, and the league suspended him. All right, so I'm saying, I know, G. So I'm saying, sauce for the goose. If Mike has to take that suspension, then so should little Johnny. Put his little punk ass out.
You know what
they said? Took the game, check away from him. But you know what
they said? Yeah, they said Mike did it to the fans after he got suspended. Since he did it to another technicality. But the bottom line is he still disgraced the shield. And he needs to be suspended. That's BS why he's going to get $11,000 fine. He needs to be for a game. I agree with you, Mike.
$11,000 is not even trip money, G. So when you think about the significance of this, you see, everybody sees him stick his finger out. The next day, the Browns decide that Brian Hoyer's going to be their starting quarterback, not because he outplayed the kid, but because he can handle the nonsense better.
Yeah.
And if he can't handle stuff at this level, that when they succeed or when there's pressure on him, he gonna cry like a little bitch and go to the sideline and stick his finger out.
And Mike, you can say bitch Saturday. Don't worry, Mike. You can say little bitch Saturday. That's made clear.
Okay, I haven't said that. That Manziel would do this and get protected by the mouse by saying, well, you know, it's just an act of omission and all this other old crap. No, you stop this. We saw on draft day what the NFL saw. We saw Johnny Manziel walk out on that stage with the show me the money sign. And we know, if Teddy Bridgewater had done that same thing, how
dare you do that? You should be a role model for your people. You know, you should sing Hark Hallelujah and eat your vitamins and say your prayers, whatever it will be.
But it ain't Teddy's left ass a new one if he had even thought about doing something like that. Johnny Manziel comes out,
Johnny,
you stupid mega figures.
Hey,
why did
you come out showing
his
underwear?
Why is that? Johnny Manziel, the Raiders, the old Raiders that Dan Bumpy, if they made me in the Browns, anytime soon, if Johnny Manziel is playing, they're going to blood his behind into the turf. I already said that publicly.
All I'm saying, LeBron James, get ready to suit up playing football.
hold up, because we got to think into this. We got to think into this a little bit more here, because there are several things going on here. There's the imagery of Manziel doing what he's doing, and
the fact that when it was done to him in return, he couldn't handle it. But when the regular season starts, there's going to be a different dynamic going on. Because let's say this is a regular season game, Washington versus Cleveland. Manziel is running around trying to make a play because he only had 15 plays in college and he can't read defenses, but we forget all about that. Never mind. As he's running for his life, somebody plants his behind in the turf, and then the defensive lineman gets up and puts the money sign up.
Yep.
You know what's going to happen next thing you ask him, advantage when it comes to putting their game on TV. I want people to think about this. Seattle is not going to get any major home games on national television. You know why? Because of that black quarterback and because of the so-called 12th man. Now, I can say this from experience because I covered the Seahawks when I was living out west, and they had an awful team. I mean, they were butt ugly. 1 year I covered them, they set the league for the least amount of points scored in the season, 140 points. And it was painful to watch their offense. And they wasted Cortez Kennedy and a lot of other good players out there because they had no quarterback. They had scrubs, including Mark McGuire's scrub-ass brother. What made Seattle important, though, was that those fans came to every game. They came from Alaska. They came from Canada. They were coming from everywhere. And that kingdom, I can tell you, was as noisy as any place I've ever heard in my life. They used to start the games playing AC/DC's Thunderstruck. And they would rewind the first 2 seconds and loop that so just the noise before kickoff. It was ridiculous. But it would die soon because the other team would score and Seattle would get quiet. The bottom line here is that the 12th man was a definite factor in the Super Bowl. That set up the whole game to the Seahawks, and then they were kicking all kinds of Denver Broncos behind. That was not lost on the NFL officials. Remember, they played in New Orleans Saints last year, and Drew Brees got bitched up by Seattle. He couldn't function. They made so much noise. He choked in the rain, and of course, we can't have one of the NFL signature quarterbacks, you know, look bad in prime time, especially to that young brother who was kicking his ass on the other side of the field.
So, Mike, you saying that Seattle's first game is going to be on the road and it's not going to be at home?
Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute. As a defending Super Bowl champion, is going to be on the road for the second time in the year? Last year was on the road.
Wait a minute, did I stutter? I'm dead serious when I say this stuff. This ain't some angry blackhead junk. This is for real. Now, the NFL never wanted Seattle. The NFL never wanted Seattle to be a stronghold. And I wrote about this as much as I said as much on Black Athletes when I did my column about this. Seattle represents a couple of things. You remember, Russell Wilson's first year, they made them travel cross-country. They flipped the schedule so that they were playing 10 o'clock in the morning games on the East Coast. In spite of that, Russell Wilson and Seattle, last year they did the same thing to them. And in spite of that, Russell Wilson and Seattle won. Russell Wilson has played 2 years in this league, and he's yet to lose 10 games. Now, if he was a white quarterback, you know they would have been all in his job.
He'd been all the same already.
I'm not being facetious about this. This is true. They would have been all in his job. But because he has been this methodical, calculating leader who prepares better than most quarterbacks in the league right now, Russell Wilson is not going to fall prey to some nonsense. Remember, the second year was supposed to be the so-called sophomore jinx. What did Russell do? He took that bad boy all the way. And Black Athlete's Sports Network was the only site to say that Seattle was going to go all the way because of General Wilson.
Yeah.
And they did. It's scheduled.
It's three behind Seattle, the first game. They were going to San Diego.
The first game is at home.
They're not going to get a champion is supposed to get at least four or five national games. At least.
Right.
If we do the averages, Seattle's not going to get that kind of play. I'm sorry, go ahead, G. Beat the schedule.
Denver goes to Seattle in the third game. Seattle goes to the Washington football club the fourth game.
That's a home game for Russell Wilson.
Again, Super Bowl 57 will be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs won on a last-second field goal, 23-20. The Eagles took care of business earlier in the day, stomping on San Francisco, 31-7. Having said that, this will be the first matchup between two black quarterbacks that I know of. Surely, if anybody else knows, let me know, but the Super Bowl have been rumored to be in the offing for quite a while, for a few years, and it looks like now they got one. So 2 weeks from now, General Mahomes versus General Hurts. And as my man Tony used to say, Hurts, don't it? All you Philly fans of the phony 94.1 WIP who root for this kid now after the fact, you know, don't get hurt getting on that bandwagon. Anyway, we're going to close it out for now. It's been a rough ride. We're going to fix our technical issues, and Wednesday we'll be back with another rebroadcast, and hopefully we'll be in better shape to do this. Good night. That was ugly. Another instant. I took it up.
Because you said everything was all set up.
Yeah. I forgot I had a show in there, and the music is what I couldn't knock out without killing everything and resetting. I forgot about that. So now,
what is your
I have to reset it so there's no starting music, and then I'll set the show up like I did before. So that instead of music, nothing will happen. I can announce it, and I can hit the button, and the show will play straight away.
That was weird.
It was weird. It was frustrating.
Well, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
That's right there. That was there. I left underneath it. You saw this was a lot of pressure. He started. You felt the pressure as well. No, Kansas City can get pressure before I saw Chris Jones, but. You got to give your guys opportunities. And it was a lot of time. We were watching the game. And I was like, what are you doing? Throw the ball. Throw it away. Like, it was just like a second guess or something. But he was a little more confident.
Oh, shut up. They won the game.
And he ran when he needed to, which is just enough to keep the defense on his heels. They can't load the box. And that's what he gives you. He gives you that ability to play 11-on-11 football. And when you have that, it's up for any defense to stop any offense when you have to cover receivers, running backs, tight ends, and now a quarterback that can scramble for a first down.
You talked about the running game with Philadelphia, not only with Jalen Hurts, but they were rotating guys all the way back there, right? Miles Sanders, Gainwell was fantastic. We saw Boston Scott with the rushing touchdowns. Now, they set a single season record for most rushing touchdowns. I get it. Got a longer regular season, playoff, et cetera, but still, you can see them screwing up a lot. Would you expect them to have a similar game plan against Kansas City?
Yeah, they might have done the ball on early downs, first, second down, and try to get to, you know, early in the game. But when they started dedicating themselves to the running game, you started to see them crease the Niners a little bit. Gainwell had some big runs. I want to say they had a big, by the way. Crease?
Yeah, we didn't crease.
I didn't that means you're getting games of 10 or more. They had six carries of 10 or more in this game, which you've never seen the Bears before 92. Partly in that, and you're right early on, they're on the field a ton because of the injury to Brock Purdy. But at this situation, look, they're finding a way. This is late in the game where guys have been used to just being on the field tackling, and he's able to bring even Jalen Hurts. And they're able to break a couple tackles to get a key first down to kind of give them that extra boost. And so, to me, it's going to be about running the football, having your offensive line go forward, which is one of the best in the game right now. Get them going forward and utilize your play-action pass.
We talked a little bit about it, that Eagles pass rush. And we'll continue to, because they have 70 sacks, which is 15 more than the next closest team, which happens to be the Kansas City Chiefs. But you can see just their pressure rate is – absolutely.
They don't blitz either, man. They just rush forward. That's the thing about them. They don't blitz. Kansas City blitzes a little bit, right? These guys are just rushing, right? We went out and got Hassan Reddick in free agency. He showed up. The interest, the dividend of our investment is paying off, right? You didn't. I'm trying to do
that. No, cute.
You like that?
I did.
I don't know. Does Philly have, like, is there a lot of money in Philly?
There's enough.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know
what you think. I'm sorry. But anyway, then you got Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis, Brandon Graham, all these guys that are coming in, you still have guys that are coming. You trade for
Robert Quinn.
Yeah, like you have so many guys that can come in and find ways to affect the quarterback. I mean, kudos to them. You know, the question is, you have 2 weeks. Can you finish the job?
Well, we have 2 weeks to talk about this game.
We're the first one to talk about it, though.
I wonder if the Kelce brothers will be a topic. Can't wait for that podcast.
Let's do that. The brothers.
Yeah, they want to talk about it,
right? For the first time, we've got brothers competing. Officially done. Being a Chiefs fan.
I love it.
Yes, Jason. Yes. It's going to be good. Hey, Monday, February 6th, it's the biggest week in the NFL season. It kicks off the Super Bowl opening night presented by Fast Twitch. Witness exclusive interviews with the stars of Super Bowl 57. I imagine you're supposed to. Brothers, live at Footprint Center. Tickets, $20. No hidden fees. Visit SuperBowl.com/opening night to purchase tickets today. That's it. You know what? You can pay for mine, too. That's going to be $43. We have a war for Kansas City. The emotions of the Chiefs headed to their third Super Bowl in the last 4 seasons. We'll hear from the leaders. Coming up.
NFL Game Day Final is presented by Mercedes-Benz. BP.
Can you lower this thing?
The wide eye dreamer.
Can you lower this thing?
Transforming the world of our
platform.
We be the ones pushing the advantage. We be the ones defying gravity. We begin jumping into our greatest dreams. We bring the hope and the healing that celebratory Kirby Paul feeling with the jaws rocking, shoulders rocking, unbelievable play after play. We creatively made the move to game. Are
you ready? Think you might like brother's play? Of course I do. Go right. Oh my God.
I'm the clutch.
Because we know you're picking at the pace.
I fucked that whole thing up. I said I'm the clutch. I fucked that whole thing up. I knew what I was going to do, and I didn't do it.
Choose any car in the aisle and be the boss of you. Go national. Go like a pro.
Winning coach his brother Brady writes for a year. I like it because the big game this year is flag football. It's NFC is definitely better. For better golf, Will's office is all taller than you get a bigger brain.
He has better hair.
All loves the NFC ball. Emma?
Yes,
she called here anymore.
Mom, see live.
She don't want to talk to you. Yeah. That's why the tech chat is really weird.
That sucks.
And I'll be your son today.
Show that I'm still there.
I knew it was there.
Danny Banker.
different as a pill.
And it didn't counter as quickly as I thought.
Fentanyl is being mixed into everything.
I had music mixed in. I forgot.
Naloxone nasal spray. Fentanyl. It's cheap. It's potent. And it's profitable.
Why would drug dealers put a lethal dose of fentanyl in drugs? They know it's so profitable.
It's all about the money.
Yeah.
Want more stats? Just ask Siri, who leads the league in passing yards?
What an AFC championship game rematch in Arrowhead. It will remain Arrowhead.
So look what happened is they tied. When they got into that
overtime. Yeah, 10 minute overtime.
Scramble, get the first, tack on 15 more. Thanks.
First touchdown wins.
Mike
Hill right there was like, oh, man, he may still do it.
That's a bummer to watch, no question about it. So it sets up Harrison Butker for 45 yards out to send the Chiefs to their third Super Bowl in the last four seasons. Travis Kelce.
Nobody wants to see Cincinnati anyway.
Chris Jones hanging out with our James Palmer.
Chris, you know you got to have to get out here so very quick. And this one, you're ready to do it. I know you wanted to get over the hump in the postseason. I didn't have a shot. You did your business today. Yeah, not that my muscles are about to work throughout the week. I'm not really much of a longer. But the ball starts from 360, man. He's a woman that's prepared for all off season. I'm dedicating my off season. This is another day of year. But I missed two guys, team games. I put it up on myself. This game, we're going to win on front. And that's what we did. We got a resilient group in our room. So with the D-line, you need to go across the world back, man.
Last thing you said was you walked off the podium here in Arrowhead. Was everybody enjoying Arrowhead?
That motivated you all week. And who said that was me? So ever. And I'm looking at the camera when I said it. This is the Arrowhead. Don't care how many times you're going to be there.
Built out. Yes, I know Jalen Hurts has played really well, but when you look at the AFC,
Yeah, but when he's in, you look at the AFC, that's the thing, is that there's so many good young quarterbacks that are in their 20s, some in days of just getting started, really the infancy of their NFL careers here. And if he's able to stack the Super Bowls and a couple of MVPs, I don't think he's going to win a second a couple of weeks at NFL honors. Like, it's impressive. Like, I think we just expected, oh, that he's made it to the fifth grade AFC championship. That ain't easy. It's not at all.
90 seconds. Actually, I'm one of the